Okay, everyone, welcome back. Sorry for the break. We are on Das Tefila 102, and we are finishing up a particular section, not a chapter, but a particular section. But it's taken us quite some time. This has been quite a long section, and we're going to go forward this week, and then next week, Bli Neder, we will go backwards to try to review. I hope that I'll be able to give shiur next week. I'm traveling next week also. I don't remember the schedule for Tuesday night. So if not, it will have to be the following week, which might be Purim. We will learn again. Amir Tzashem. We will learn again. But I can't promise. I have a rabbi conference next week. Baruch Hashem. There's much to do. Okay. But what we are discussing are the five famous mistakes that are listed by the Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto in the Da'as Tevunos, the five mistakes that people make in their assumptions about God or in their relationship with God. And in each case, his goal is to show how avoda, which is defined as tefillah and karbanos, but avoda particularly is there to cement our beliefs, to overturn these mistaken beliefs. So until now, we've been dealing with errors. And now we're going to talk about something that's a little more than an error. But we've been talking about, for example, the thought that there's another power besides God. Right? Different kinds of mistakes. So we're going to see that today we're going to approach something that's a little stronger than a mistake. But it too comes back to some sort of a mistake, and we'll try to understand why and how. This is very relevant to our lives in many ways. I do hope we'll be able to finish this week, although very possible we'll go to next week on this section and then review. Okay. He, number five, Hamakirim es Boram umiskavnim limrodbo. This is a group of people who recognize that there is a God, but they intend to rebel against him. Lahachas. They intend to rebel against him. He das poshe Yisrael. This fifth opinion are people who are unfortunately rebellious sinners. Osam shayu makirim es konam. They recognize their master. Umechavnim limrodbo. And they intend to rebel against him. They refuse to accept him, even though they know he is there and they know he is the creator, etc. As it says, klum mechavein ani. Ella lahachis, the cholde kavase. Stories of that section in Sanhedrin talks about the different kings that don't get olam haba. And the Gemara there talks about the fact that they knew there was a God, but they did not want to bow to him. They tried to go against him, even though they knew the truth, even though they knew that he was God, even though they knew that he gave commandments. They said, "We will not accept you." Ukroksiv lamros enei kavodo, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, right? To try to somehow go against the eyes of his glory. In other words, he sees us, he knows I'm here, I'm not fooling anybody, but I'm just rebelling against him. Shehayu choshvim sheyuchlu lasos neged ritzono chas v'shalom. That's what it should say. That they thought that they could act against his ratzon. V'yachisuhu, and make him angry b'maseyam haraim, with their actions. K'mi shemaches es chavero bal korcho, like my friend. I know my friend is here. I know my friend will be upset. I'm doing it anyway, and I intend to make him upset. Now, this sounds like a terrible person. Sounds like a person who a poshe Yisrael. But the fact is that on some level, this describes every one of us, because there are many areas in our life where we're makir es boreinu. We know that he wants us to do X. We know that he created us. We know that he's the one that gives us the power to move, to talk, to function. We know that he commanded not to do this. And yet, there are certain areas that we're going to do it anyway. Now, we don't do it lahachis. We're not doing for the intent of upsetting him, hopefully. There are times where, even in a religious person's life, they feel that God has wronged them. They're angry at God. and they feel the need to slap back at him. They feel the need to do something to get back at him. And that's something that we can all relate to on some level. We can all understand that. And God also understands that on some level. That's not what we're really talking about here. We're talking about a person who is committing major, major sins, and they're doing so because they want to upset God. But what's also interesting is that it says, "Shahayu choshvim sheyuchlu la'asos neged ritzona." Part of this, and the reason we'll explain why this is a mistake, it's not just an evil act, but it's a mistake, is thinking that I can A, upset God, and B, that I can get away with upsetting God, and C, imagining that I can turn my back on God and fend for my affairs by myself. So we'll see that even though, and he'll make this clear, this starts as an act of rebellion, not an act of mistake. All the other things we spoke about are mistakes. Mistakes, mistaken ways of understanding God's control over the world. This starts as in a certain sense, it starts with the desire to rebel. But even this has within it a certain level of misunderstanding. Because if I really understood how impotent I am, if I really understood how ridiculous it is to be able to manage my own affairs without God, then I wouldn't ever go there in the first place. It's almost like a little child trying to attack when the parent's hand is on their head and they're flailing with their short arms and they think they can make a difference in some way or not. Others thought that they could not only strengthen their rebellion against God, but strengthen their position. Because if I'm makir as bori, if I recognize that God created me and I recognize that I need God, so then what am I going to do to take care of myself once I turn my back on him? So they tried to use various kinds of magic and incantations. And others by using certain kinds of understanding of the angels. And I would throw onto this additionally Kabbalistic kinds of things. The use of Kabbalah, not to better understand the world or to better understand God, but the use of Kabbalah to avoid God. That if I understand, if I can do certain magical things, I don't need to bow my knee to God because I can take care of it myself. Kemosha kosu b'medrash Eicha, as the Medrash says in Eicha. Yirmiyahu comes to the Jewish people, says the Medrash in Eicha, and Yirmiyahu says, you guys really had better do tshuva. The enemy is on our doorstep, and you had better do tshuva. And they say to him, Ana makif le'maya. Right? Ana makif le'ashisa. He says, one of them says, don't worry, I will use my mystical powers to surround the city with water. And another says, no, I'll use my mystical powers of the angels to surround the city with fire. Ubehemshech ha-medrash, and the medrash goes on, Amar lema kadosh baruch hu, bididi asun mishtamshin? Are you bididi, me? You're making use of me? What this statement really means is, you're making use of the mystical pathways, the mystical things, the angels that I created? You think that you can use them in my absence? You think you can use them against me? Amad v'shina shmosam shel malachim. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got up, and he changed the names of the angels. The Almaya, Ovid, Al-Nura, v'chule. Changed, he switched all the names of the angels, the fire angels and the water angels. Suddenly, these people didn't have the words, the names to use. V'hayu maskirin shmosam lamata, v'lo hayu onin lahem. And they would call out to all these various angels, and they would not answer them. As it says, V'achalel sarei kodesh. The Pasuk says, I shall defame, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Profane the sarim, the holy sarim. That's what the dust tulnus says. Ein ladaber, b'musagim shel ta'ut. We shouldn't really speak of concepts of mistake. Alosam ha-miskavnu l'merida. When we're talking about people that intend to rebel against God, why are we suddenly talking about a ta'ut? Amnam ha-ta'ut nimtseis b'tfisosam ha-me'uvas shel ha-metzius. But there is an underlying mistake here. It isn't necessarily the main issue, but there's an underlying mistake even amongst those who are intending to rebel against God. Hashkafa asher ma'amida es mareches haruchniyim, a worldview that establishes the spiritual worlds, the spiritual forces. Asher darka habore yisparach menalas habriya, that Hashem uses, we believe, to run the world. Kinifredes ve'atzma'it, as something that's separate and independent. Umameila efshel lenatzel es kochosea, and therefore you can take, you can use its powers. V'lifnos elea le'inyan hashlamas tarchei b'nei adam, and use them to establish to get the needs, the perfection of people. There's a fundamental mistake here. In other words, even though the intent of these individuals, and we're going to see, this is obviously not going to be finished tonight, this whole chapter here, but okay, it was a nice try. But even though we're going to see that these are really talking about evil people, we'll see that we have so much of this in us. The intent is to rebel, but they would never have the chutzpah to rebel unless they thought that they could manage by themselves. The relationship we should have, that everyone should have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is one of love and one of closeness and all this and that. But before you pull the plug, as if you can do that, before you attempt to pull the plug and rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you need a backup plan. And explains the Das Tfila, the backup plan, which gave them the chutzpah to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, was based on a false assumption that they could use the mystical, the Kabbalistic things that they knew, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to, and they could use that against HaKadosh Baruch Hu or for their own purposes, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to support them. This is a very fundamental concept, a very fundamental challenge in terms of the use of Kabbalah. Right? What is essentially Kabbalah? Kabbalah is a, put very succinctly, is the study of the way that Hashem runs the world. That's what it is. Succinctly, that's what it is. It's all the mystical kinds of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to run the world, to create things, to destroy things. It's the way He relates to us. It is possible, if one knows what they're doing, to possibly tap into that and to use some of these very things to play that very creative and powerful role. But don't forget for a second that this is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's marionette that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running from the top. It's not something independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that could be used by a person if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to. Much of popular Kabbalah today, the Kabbalah centers and all this and that, is people trying to use Kabbalah without God to accomplish their own purposes. I mentioned this before. It shouldn't be shocking to us that many celebrities, giving a shiur in Los Angeles and Beverly Hills right now, that many celebrities are very into Kabbalah. Why are celebrities very into Kabbalah? Because Torah, the revealed Torah, if you want to put very succinctly, is about the way we're supposed to relate to Hashem. The mystical Torah is about the way Hashem relates to us. If you're the kind of person who the first question you ask is, what's my obligation to deal with those outside of me? Then the Torah is for you. If you're the kind of person who their first thought is, what are others supposed to do for me? Then a very practical kind of a Kabbalah is something that'll be very appealing for you. It doesn't place obligations upon you. It puts more power in your hands. It's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can serve you, or it's how you can use things to improve your own life, but not to improve your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the kind of thing that he's talking about. And again, it's a very powerful medrash in the Medrash Eicha that discusses this idea. Okay, that they actually tried to do this at the time of Yirmiyahu. They said, no, we can use Kabbalah. We don't need God. We can use Kabbalah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who do you think created Kabbalah? And how do you think Kabbalah works? It's not set in stone. It's only because I will it to work. Kemuvan, shebe'ikra emunaso biyasod ha'avoda, sholalim anu tfisazu. It's understood that the fundamental belief in the fact that we serve God directly is there to undo this understanding of the world. This understanding that there's another way around. You could either get things by going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or there's another way to do it, to avoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that way you can count on, even if you don't want to interface with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Shehu Yisbarachu HaRa'ui, the Rambam says in his Yud Gimel Ikarim, Shehu Yisbarachu HaRa'ui LaOvdo ULaGodlo. The Rambam said this is one of the 13 principles of faith, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that one should serve and aggrandize, ulahodia gadluso lasosim etzosov, v'shelo ya'asu kazeh l'mishehu tachta b'metzias. Some people mistakenly think that the fifth ikar of the Rambam is simply that you're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not. It's more about the second half, because again, the 13 principles is about beliefs, belief systems. The fact that you should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a belief system. What is the belief system here? Shelo yasu, you shouldn't serve l'misha hu tachta b'metzias, anything lower down in the chain. Min ha-malochim, amongst the angels, v'achochavim, v'ha-gagolim, v'yesodos, u'ma shehur kav mehem. L'fi shekula mutba'im, I don't know what that's supposed to say, I don't have my das tefillah with me. Okay? Because they are all given their nature by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing independent. There is nothing independent. The Rambam says you're not allowed to pray to the sun in order to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not talking about worshiping the sun. He's not talking about Avodah Zarah. He's talking about worshiping, asking the sun to help you out to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asking something lower on the chain. In yanam u'maseim nasim al piteva shechut ba bahem, they don't have any independent rules, they don't have any independent function, they don't have any independent existence, they don't have any choice. Everything is run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So go right to the source. Go right to the source. Ein lahalos al hadas lishtamish ba'osam mishamshim v'sparach hamut bo'im binyanam. Don't even think of going to one of these types of entities whose nature is fixed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kenegdo Yisbarach, that you should do it against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ure'ei shebetoru b'tzivay avoda lo huzkar af shem yishmosav Yisbarachim avoy b'gemar. As we said before, in order to avoid this, when it speaks of the Karbanos, it only uses one name of Hashem. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says, bo ure'ei maksi b'parshas Karbanos. What does it say in the Parshas Karbanos? Shalom ne'amar behen lo kel v'lo elokim ela havaya. It just says Yudke Vavke. It only says one name. You shouldn't think that there's any other address. Now, of course, Elokim is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the name Yudke Vavke, the name which we don't pronounce because it's supposed to speak more than any name to the essence of Hashem, not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So says the Gemara in Menachos that when it comes to the Karbanos, when it comes to the Avoda, the whole purpose of Avoda is to recognize that there aren't multiple forces out there. There aren't multiple layers out there. It's all Him. Everything else is a mirage. Everything else is an illusion. And that's why when it comes to the Karbanos, we only have this one name of Hashem, Havaya, and nothing else. Shalolitein pischon pela baldin lachlok. That someone shouldn't say, oh, you have to give Karbanos to Elokim. Elokim is a lower angel. Elokim is one of his servants. And he's supposed to serve the servant, and the servant's supposed to turn around and then speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just not the way that it goes. Okay? Now again, we're not necessarily interested in turning to the moon or turning to those things. Where do we do this? So many, many people do this, unfortunately, I think, in terms of their superstitions that they confuse with Yiddishkeit. Years ago, I gave a Shabbos Shuva drasha about red bendelas. I am not a big fan of red bendelas. Again, the challenge is to imagine that somehow this object itself has some sort of power, some sort of independent power from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Many, 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 many of these things are very appealing. There are a lot of different skulas, right? School of Shalom Bayis. You do this, you're school of Shalom Bayis. You buy this thing, it's school of Shalom Bayis. You know what's a school of Shalom Bayis? Being nice to your wife. That's a really big school of Shalom Bayis. Honoring your husband. That's a school of Shalom Bayis. But it's much easier to do a shtick than it is to actually do what it takes to actually get the results. That idea of shortcuts, that's what this is. Now, why would somebody rather serve the stars if they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there? Why would someone rather serve the stars than serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it's easier. It's very hard to have a relationship with Hashem. It's very hard to have a real relationship with Hashem and to work on that relationship and to realize that He's there for the good things and He's there for what we perceive as the bad things. It's much easier to take something lower down in the Kabbalah chain, lower down in the Sphiros chain, lower down in the mystical whatever coming into this world chain. It's much easier to interface with those things than it is to interface with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. But that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do. He wants us to have a relationship. He wants us to serve Him, but not for the purpose of service, for the purpose of developing that relationship. He's not interested in the actions themselves. He's interested in the extent that the actions connect us to Him. When the actions become independent entities, when they're godless, when they, in fact, perhaps take away from our connection to Him, when we can't see past those objects, whether they be superstitions or whether they be even objects of mitzvah. The idea is that these things should be a portal to sense God and to interface with God, not something that we get so caught up in that it doesn't allow us to think about God when we're dealing with them. And that's this trap, and that's this challenge. That is this challenge. And it's something, again, that we all face in a small way in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a step forward. Asur lefnos lekochos elu, fa'af lo b'tor emtzaim. He emphasizes, we're not allowed to turn to these, it shouldn't say bahut, it's kochot. We're not allowed to turn to these forces, even as an intermediary. And this is, of course, a halachic discussion as well. V'lo rakzos, ela sha'af osu lefnos l'shum malach o kol koach ruchani acher. You're not allowed to turn to any angel or any other force. And we believe in angels. And we believe that the stars, the Rambam says that the stars are more powerful than we think. They're not just physical entities. They are quasi-spiritual entities, whatever that means. But we're not allowed to turn to them as a way to get to Hashem. As it says in the Yerushalmi, Hakshiva l'kol shavi, malki velokai, ki elecha espalal. Lo yitzavach, says the Medrash, says the Yerushalmi, don't cry out to Michael, don't cry out to Gavriel, eloli yitzuve, right? Eloli yitzavach, cry out to me, v'ani onemiyat. Aser lefnos l'shum sfira kishla atzma. You're not allowed to turn to one of the sfiros and pray to it. Ve'ha'osekein, who kotzeitz benetios. The Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhiner says kotzeitz benetios is a euphemism for being a kofer, for being a heretic. You're not allowed to do that. Zehu yesod pinas emunoseinu hakadosha. This is the fundamental cornerstone of our belief. Shekol megamas kavanas libenu, the entire goal of the and focus of our hearts, b'chol habrachos v'tfilos b'akashos, Ach v'rak liyichudo shel olam adon yachid ein sof baruchu. To nobody else, says the Nefesh HaChaim, just directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, you'll ask me, but we do often do this? When do we do this?
Cemeteries.
We seem to do it at cemeteries. We seem to pray to the dead, but even more exactly what he's talking about here. When do we, for example, pray to angels? So we're going to see. Next week we're going to enter into a little bit of a quasi-halachic discussion even about how do you say Shalom Aleichem? We ask the angels to give us a blessing. Right? That seems to be again the worst case is unfortunately a terrific song by Mordechai ben David, Machnisei Rachamim. During the Slichos, towards the end of the Slichos, we ask the angels specifically to act as our intermediaries. Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Rachameinu. Lifnei Bala Rachamim. We say at the towards the end of Slichos, angels who are in charge of bringing our, please be our agents to bring them into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that okay? We don't say it at YU, that I can tell you. We don't say that. We also don't say in YU at the very end of Ne'ilah, Midas Harachamim, right? That's the last piyut, Ezkara Elokim, right? Midas Harachamim Aleinu Iskalgali, right? It's very hard because you have a beautiful four stanza piyut, and a four stanza piyut goes beautiful for any slow, meaningful song. Low, high, and halas what I always sang it. To Shema Koleinu at the end of Ne'ilah, but in YU they leave out one of the four stanzas. Makes it very hard to lead Ne'ilah when you only have three stanzas for a four stanza song. So that's what we're going to have to figure out next week. What is this? What are the heterim to do it? But be'ikaron, we certainly should all agree in principle that you shouldn't have to do that. It's a very, very strange that we add those things into our prayers because they're unnecessary. There's no need to have an angel go and bring something before God when God is standing right in front of you and he's able to listen to what you're saying yourself. So we'll have to take up that problem next week. We'll finish Bli Neder this section, and then we'll do a review of this whole section about the five mistakes and exactly how prayer is supposed to undo that, and then we will go further. Okay, good night, everybody, or good afternoon for those of you who are here. Good night in New York.
Thank you. Welcome back, Rabbi Bennett.
Thanks. Amen.